الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي وهل من مالك إلا ما أكلت فأفنيت أو لبست فأبليت أو تصدقت فأمضيت وما سوى ذلك فذاهب أو تاركه للناس. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو كان لابن آدم واديان من ذهب لأحب أن يكون له واديان ولم يملأ فاه إلا التراب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We thank Allah and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His many boons and favors that He has given to us. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity that He has given to us to come in this blessed place, His house, His own house, and to sit here on this blessed evening, the eve of the Jum'ah, which is the blessed, on the most blessed day of the week. Surely the doing of good actions, it is only by the will and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so too, when we thank Allah for whatever good we do, Allah will give us the ability to do much more good. And if we do not thank Allah for the good that He has given to us, then Allah will take away the tawfiq from that. So we will find ourselves not doing good, but we will not find the answers as to why I am so away from deen. Why is it that I was better off before? Why is it I was more generous before? Why is it I used to get up early in the morning for tahajjud and now I can't remember the last time I performed tahajjud? Why it is that at least once for the day I used to visit the house of Allah, but now weeks will pass and I will not even see the house of Allah? And we ask ourselves, why are we moving so far away? And sometimes the answer is simply this, that we fail to acknowledge that when we do a good deed, it is Allah's permission to us. And we shove it to ourselves and we compliment ourselves that you have done a good thing. You have done a good thing. It is because of you. So when the compliment is supposed to go to Allah and it doesn't go to Allah and it goes to ourselves, then we lose the tawfiq and the ability of doing it again. Because Allah is the one who gives the tawfiq. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That there is no tawfiq and there is no ability to do good deeds except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, sometimes many different of Allah's favors pass in front of our eyes. We don't pick them up. We don't grasp them. We don't take notice of them. And it's after years we remember, boy, I had it in my hand and I let it go pass. And sometimes when we don't realize that on the face of the earth, as soon as we close our eyes and we enter the grave, we will say, how foolish was I? How foolish I was. So much good times I had. So much good opportunities I had to do good. And I allowed the time to pass. I allowed my life to pass. I allowed my youth to pass. I did not do any good. A man who is old and feeble and sits on a wheelchair or lies on a bed, he regrets every moment of his youthful and strengthful life that passed and he did not obey Allah. He says, boy, I wish I could walk towards the masjid, but look at me, I can't even walk, I depend on another person to carry me. He says, now I want to go to the masjid, but I can't go. Now all he lives is, it is on wishes and hopes. I hope I get better, but I regret what I didn't do. I regret what I didn't do in the past. So when one time passes, my dear brothers, when one time passes, that time does not ever come back. Because whatever comes back, it is a new time. It is a new day. It is a new year. It is a new month. And with a new month, there is a new action. What was not done cannot be done. It could never be done again. If we could have gotten up yesterday to perform Fajr Salah, and we did not get up and we want to get up this morning and tomorrow morning, it is another Fajr. It can't be the same Fajr. What is undone is undone. It is up to Allah either to forgive or to punish. That is for Allah. But for us, we cannot do it again. It has gone. The time has passed. All we can do is to raise our hands and beg Allah to forgive us. But then, forgiveness is not in our hands. Again, it is in the hands of Allah. He makes that decision. So this gathering here, many people belittle gatherings. Many people belittle gatherings. Many people belittle simple things that we do. Many Muslims belittle the gathering that they are in. People come to masjid and they belittle that coming to masjid. People sit in the masjid for a few minutes and they look at that as being nothing. You know why it is sometimes they do not look at it as being something? Because they don't see physical rewards. Man has become so accustomed with only physical rewards like wealth that unless they don't see it, they feel they didn't get anything. So if we go to a place and a function, many people go to function, and the man did not prepare lunch or dinner, we say, well, I waste my time here. People look for physical returns and they forget the return which is coming, but they can't see it. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in Tirmizi, it is stated, when a believer comes towards the masjid, he performs wuzu at home. When he performs wuzu at home, then every part of his body he washes, the water that drops on that limb of the body washes out all the sins that that part of the body committed. Hasanun sahihun. Hasan hadith, good hadith, Imam Tirmizi says. When you wash your mouth, all the sins that were committed, the minor sins that were committed by the tongue and the mouth, it washes away with the last drop of water coming out from the mouth. When a person washes his face, all the sins committed by the eyes, etc., they are washed away. When a person washes his right hand, all the sins that was committed by the right hand washes away. When he washes the left hand, the same thing. When he washes the right foot, when he washes the left foot, everything. So therefore, when a person performs wuzu, my dear brothers, what sins remain on his body except the major sins which he need to ask? Repentance. He need to make repentance. Then he finishes his wuzu and he turns towards the masjid. Look at that. Look at the amount of sins that a person may have gotten over with just by performance of wuzu at home or in the masjid. But the riwayat speaks about the fadilat and virtue in going towards the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then he turned towards the house of Allah. And for every footstep he takes in walking towards the house of Allah, one sin drops off and one blessing raising his status is increased for him. Every one step, subhanallah, Allah is ready to give. Can a man say, oh Allah, I must get it? You owe me this? No, Allah doesn't owe us anything. This is from Allah's kindness. You are going for salat, you have to make wuzu. I give you blessings from the time you begin to make wuzu. You can't reach the masjid except you walk. Okay, you are walking towards that, I give you blessings there also. Then the man comes and he performs salat. And he gets his rewards for performing salat. And then he sits in the masjid until the other salat. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, once he is in the masjid waiting for the arrival of another salat, he gets the blessings as if he was in salah throughout his entire time. It might be sitting back, relaxing on the wall, looking at the lights and looking at the fans. It might be sitting without even saying subhanallah, but just being in the house of Allah. It might be sitting and thinking what I'm going to do the next day, thinking about what I have to do tonight. It doesn't matter. Not thinking about sins though, just by the presence in the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he will get that entire time, whether it is 1 hour or 1.5, 2 hours, he will get the blessings as if he was in salat. So therefore what we are saying is, if a man comes and he starts to perform nafil salat from Maghrib to Isha, and another man there, he sits down and his intention is to wait for the other salat, both of them are getting the same blessings, but this man is sitting down looking. Subhanallah. You know why? You sit at home, you don't get that blessings. You sit in the masjid, you get that blessings. That is the virtue of the house of Allah. So when we arrive here, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for that, because we are getting blessings. We are sitting here, we are getting blessings. It is finished, we wait for Isha, we get blessings. Allah is ready to give us so many blessings. So many blessings. And sometimes we don't think that it is something virtuous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came to the Sahabas. He left his room and he rushed out of his room. And he came to the Sahabas and he said, what are you people here for? Since we are sitting down remembering Allah. This is what we do. What do we do here? Do we speak about investment and finance? No. We speak about Allah. We come to learn about Allah. We come to learn about Islam. We come to revive our iman. We come to listen to the lives of the Sahabas, to the great Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why we are here. So we are here to remember Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, why are you people here? Why have you gathered? They said, we are here to remember Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wallahi, by Allah, do you swear by Allah that you are here for no other reason? Sahaba says, by Allah, that is, we swear by Allah, this is the only reason we are here. We are not here for anything else. Third time the Prophet asked them, you're sure? They said yes. So they found it strange. Well, why is the messenger of Allah trying to get it out from them? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, I did not ask you to swear by Allah because I have doubts in you. No, you are speaking the truth. I believe you. But the reason I ask you to swear by Allah is that right now, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me with a law from Allah telling me to come and sit down here with you. So I want to know what great thing that you people are doing that I have to leave there, my room as a Nabi, and come and join with you. So he says, this is why I ask you, why are you here? Doesn't it show us the virtues of when we sit down to remember Allah? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting inside. Jibreel comes to him and says, Allah commands you to go there and be with them. And he goes. He finds out, they say, we are here to remember Allah. So when we come to sit in a gathering like this, it is not a little thing. It is not something insignificant. It is something great in the sight of Allah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when people sit together to remember Allah, they shine onto the heavenly creation as the stars will shine to us from the face of the earth. So sometimes you and I come out of the masjid and we look at the beautiful stars and we say, subhanallah. Look at these beautiful stars. From millions of miles away, subhanallah. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wal nahar. That is the ayats of Surah Al-Imran that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite. Every morning he got up for tahajjud and he cast his glance in the skies and see the beautiful stars and the moon. He will say, subhanallah, certainly in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alternation of the night and the day, there are signs for people of understanding. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ خِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those people who remember Allah standing, sitting, reclining. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth and they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Oh Allah, you have not created all these things in vain. Look at this sky, subhanallah. Look at those stars. Look at the moon. Subhanaka faqina azab an-nar. Glory be to you, Allah. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. After all, what is the world about? Living for a short time and back to you, Allah. Save us from that day. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when we sit here and we look millions of miles away from us, twinkling, bright, so bright, subhanallah, we cannot even imagine the brightness. The Prophet says, you know, when you sit together like this, remember Allah, those angels are looking down and say, subhanallah, who are those stars on the face of the earth? I am seeing a moon, oh Allah, is there a moon on the face of the earth also? Oh Allah, these twinkling stars, who are those twinkling stars? The Prophet says, it is not twinkling stars of gaseous matter, it is human beings, believers, remembering Allah. These are the stars you see shining on the face of the earth. That is what the Rasul says. وَهُوَ الصَّادِقُ الْمَسْدُوقُ. He is the truthful one, attested to be the truthful one. So my dear brothers, these virtues we get, but we do not get them because we intended it and we wish to get it and we have the full control to get it. No. No. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. All the power to do good is from Allah. So we are here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to reach here. We are here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired us to be in His house, to be here, nowhere else at this time. Coming from far off places, looking forward for a Thursday night, working for the entire day, but at the evening, we forget our tiredness and we come here. We come here for the sake of Allah, we come here for the deen. If man understands what is justice, if man understands what is rewards or favors, then Allah understands even to a greater extent. So if you and I can make that sacrifice to give up so many things, to present ourselves so far away from our homes at a time when we can do so many things, Allah recognizes that sacrifice also, and Allah will give much more than what a man can give. Sometimes you are working for someone and you do a little extra. You do what you had to do for the day. Your job, 8 to 4, you have done it. And after that, you did a little extra. And the boss man, the supervisor, and the CEO see that. He says, you're a real nice person. You are a real nice worker. At the end of the month, he gives you his salary. He says, take something extra. Because you are kind, you are committed. I didn't tell you to do that, but you did it of your own. You already fulfill your task. From the time the clock strikes 4, you were supposed to go away, but you remain. You saw that this needed to be done, you did it. Here is it, a man performs his 5 times salat. He says, oh Allah, I have done what I had to do to you already, but this is a little extra I am doing for you now. Subhanallah. This is a little extra. Oh Allah, I have given my zakat already, but I want to give a little more charity, a little extra sadaqah. Oh Allah, I fasted the month of Ramadan, but voila, this is Ashura, I want to do a little extra also. I want to do a little Monday and Thursday, I want to do a little extra. So when man recognizes that from another human being, wouldn't Allah, Arhamar Rahimin, the most gracious, the most merciful, wouldn't He say to us, I recognize what you have done, take a little extra as you have given a little extra, subhanallah. This is why Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, that a servant draws closer to me through his nawafil. Because what is compulsory is compulsory. It is only the optional acts now will show Allah how really you are committed to Allah. Because a man will perform 5 times salat and say, oh Allah, I did what I have to do. Bas, finish. That's the end. But another man says, oh Allah, I perform my Isha, but you know, let me set my alarm. I want to get up earlier in the morning. I know it's not compulsory, Allah, but I love you. So I want to pray to you. Allah looks at the love he has in his heart. He says, this man really loves me. This man is really committed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him his blessings. So my dear brothers, what I am saying is that we should never ever think that this gathering and coming here is insignificant. So why do we have to be there and we are sitting? What goes on there, etc.? No. Allah works with a servant as the servant thinks of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. If we think that Allah will give, Allah will give. If we think Allah wouldn't give, Allah wouldn't give. If we become doubtful about Allah, Allah also acts in that manner. You are doubtful about me? Well, so be it. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you make dua with the firm yaqeen in your heart that Allah will surely give you what you want and what you are asking, and Allah will give you. Never make dua that, oh Allah, ask him, but I don't know if you will give me enough. Oh Allah, I'm doubtful, I don't know. Says, don't say that at all. Say, oh Allah, please give me, you can give me, I want it, give me. With that firmness of your heart, Allah will give you. Because Allah acts with you according to how you think about Allah. So if you think Allah will give, Allah will give. If we think Allah is small and he wouldn't give, so Allah will treat us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah acts with a servant as a servant thinks about his creator. So we are here, we should never ever think that it is something by the way. It is something whether we are there or not, it doesn't matter. No, it really matters. But how sad it is that sometimes only when we leave this world then we realize it matters. Only when we leave this world and we enter a new phase of life, then we realize, well, it did matter. What can we do? What amends can we make now? Life has passed already. The time has passed already. So we have to be grateful and thankful to Allah for these favors that He keeps giving to us. Favors are from a physical, favors are from material, and favors are also from spiritual. We need to eat. Physical favors, material favors, etc. But we can't live without iman. So Allah gives us iman also. He gives us the ability to do good deeds, and that is good for us. But at all times we're supposed to show that gratitude to Allah, and we're supposed to be thankful to Allah throughout the day and the night, wherever we are. We have to be grateful to Allah. We always have to show that gratitude from our hearts to Allah, not only with the tongue, but from deep down in our hearts, from the bottom of our hearts, we should always acknowledge and we should believe in our hearts that really, it's not that I'm saying it with my tongue, but oh Allah, I really acknowledge the fact that it is you who have given me the ability to do such and such. I believe that, oh Allah, that had it not been for you, nothing could have been accomplished in my life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him more and more. You know why? Allah promises, La in shakartum la azidannakum. Mine servants, if you thank me, I will give you more. I will give you more. I will give you greater and greater. It will increase and it will increase. That is when we thank Allah. But how sad it is that many people do not thank Allah and are not grateful to Allah. Many people are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He is the one who had taken you out from the wombs of your mother. You were blind, you were deaf, you were dumb. You had a mouth and a tongue, you couldn't speak. You had ears, you couldn't listen. You had eyes, but you couldn't see. فَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَرَ وَالْأَفِدَ. Allah gave you the faculty of hearing, the faculty of sight. He gave you intelligence, He gave you the heart. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may be grateful to Allah. But how many times a man forgets Allah? How many times you and I forget Allah? We go to sleep at night without thanking Allah that Allah is the one who has seen us throughout the day. During the day, this one got an accident. During the day, this one got sick. During the day, this one fell off. During the day, this one landed up in a hospital. During the day, this one was murdered. During the day, this one. And we are going peacefully on our beds. Do we turn to Allah and thank Allah? Oh Allah, it is all because of you. I am home, safe with my family. We get up in the morning and we rush towards the work, not thinking about Fajr Salat. How many people go to sleep and they do not ever see the sun shine in the next day? How many people go to sleep and the thing they see as soon as they open their eyes is dirt around them, the qabr, the grave? How many people go to sleep and they never ever get up? So when we get up in the morning, what should we do? Should we rush towards the things of this life, or should we rush towards praising and thanking Allah for giving us life, for that which He has given us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that in the dua when he said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. All praise is due to Allah who has given us life after death. Who has given us life after death, and towards Him is our return. Nushur, going back to Him, our destination. How many people in the busyness of the day, We get wrapped up with our work so much, looking at what we are making in our work, looking at what we are getting in our business, looking at how much money we have in the cash or in our stores, but forgetting Zuhr time, the Azan have gone already. Subhanallah. Forgetting the one who has made it possible. Being happy that everybody is crowding the store. Alhamdulillah, the day today is busy. Forgetting the man who made it busy. Forgetting the one who is sending all these people for the risk and sustenance of that servant. At the end of the day, mashallah, we are leaving our work, driving taxi, maxi, buses. We reach home and we lie down. I am tired. I am so tired of today's work. Forgetting Asr Salat. Forgetting Asr Salat. Because now we are so tired, we can't even stand before Allah for 5 minutes. And the day passes like that. Tomorrow is work. I have to rush towards bed. Don't have time to stand for Isha anymore, because we are hurried to go to bed, because we have to get up early next morning. And the life of a man passes in that manner. No gratitude to Allah at all. Get her up in the morning rushing towards something, not towards Allah. Getting all the favors of the day and not thinking about the giver of the favors, but rushing towards other things. Leaving to go towards so many different things and forgetting the real source of everything, Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran that man is indeed ungrateful. That man is indeed ungrateful. We are living such a happy life. We have everything. We eat comfortable. We drink comfortable. We enjoy life, having a roof over our heads, having a mattress under our backs. And we are walking on the street and someone says, please give me something. We say, all right. We look at the other side, a person puts out his hand. Give us something. We turn around the corner, another man, please give me something. By the time the fourth man comes, what do you think? Is Raja Sahib or what? Who do you think? Go away from there. What is the problem with Ali? Ali, move away now. Forgetting that every minute and second of the day Allah gives us. And only 3 and 4 people has asked us and we become so fed up and frustrated. Allah ever becomes fed up with us? Inna lillah. If Allah becomes fed up with human beings, they are destroyed immediately. We ask Allah for so many things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ask Him for more. We do and we seek repentance. We go back to it and we repent again. We break our promise and we go back to it again. We break our promise and we go back to it again. And we are always saying, oh Allah, inni atubu ilayka tawbatan nasuha. Oh Allah, I repent to you with a sincere repentance. And Ramadan come and we become so sad and we become so soft that we weep day and night. And Ramadan passes and we get back to our own characteristics and our own traits. And we continue to make tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, listen, Allah says that you will become fed up making tawbah and Allah will never become fed up answering your tawbah. You will tell yourself by a fed up make dua, but Allah will never say, I fed up, listen to you. So therefore, this is human being. How much we ask for? How much we ask for, not with the tongue but with the heart? How much desires we have, and Allah fulfills all our desires. And now 4 or 5 human beings want us to fulfill their desire and we get fed up and frustrated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how has man become so ungrateful? Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. Oh human beings, what is wrong with you? What have turned you away from your Lord? What is the matter with you? Can you recognize the giver? Can you recognize who is the one behind everything you have and be grateful to Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a clear statement in the Quran that human beings, generally speaking, they are ungrateful to their Rabb. But Allah puts it in a very beautiful manner. Subhanallah, the eloquence of the Holy Quran. And in the surah, which is called Suratul Adiyat, Allah gives us a very beautiful lesson. And He tells us about 2 harmful things which are present in our lives. 2 harmful things. And sometimes it is the statements of our mashayikh when we read the books of the wise men, the books of the hukama, the books of the hakim and the wise men. They tell us
They say,
you must look at when a dog walks. A dog always walk, bending his head and walking. It's a sign of humility. Adopt the style of a dog and be humble also to Allah. You own a dog. If you do not give the dog food today, he will not leave your house. He's sitting on right there. If you do not give the dog food tomorrow, he wouldn't go and ask. He wouldn't leave you, forsake you, and neglect you, and go by a new owner and say, here, giving me no food. Forget about he. I seen about his house anymore. You don't give him food for the third day, you will find your dog, the watchman dog, not the pet dog. The watchman dog. Pet dog is haram in Islam. Watchman dog for security. Right there. You are passing, the dog will not bite you out of anger. But man doesn't get something from Allah 1 or 2 days and starts to complain to each other and say things real hard. Are you getting anything from Allah? Who do we expect it to get from? So our mashayikh have used examples like these to tell us, look at the animals of Allah. How grateful they are to their masters, who is men. Sometimes you say, what are they saying? Why are they comparing us to animals? Allah does the same thing in the Quran. Let us understand that Allah does the same thing in the Quran. Allah makes an analogy, a qiyas, to see who is better, to see who is more grateful. Allah draws the attention of some horses in the Holy Quran. Many of us knows the surah by heart, Suratul Adiyat, a beautiful surah which has a beautiful lesson for us. It is about gratitude towards Allah, the topic that we started. Allah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal adiyati dhabha fal muriyati qadha fal mughirati subha fa atharna bihi naqa fa wasatna bihi jam'a. Allah says, by the racing horses, when they race very fast and giving off the panting sound. Understand what Allah is saying. By the racing horses, when they race very fast, giving off the panting sounds. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. They race so fast that they strike the rocks and give off a fire. Sparks when they are moving. So fast they are moving. The hoofs striking the rocks and the ground. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. And these horses, they are chargers at the time of dawn. They are the attacking horses that move very fast and they wait for the command of their master, the man, to give an attack towards people. فَأَثَرُنَ بِهِ نَقْعَا. The horses that move, they move at subha, at dawn. They move very early in the morning. But they are moving so fast, a time where the dust is normally not stirred up. But Allah says they are moving so fast, فَأَثَرُنَ بِهِ نَقْعَا, that they are stirring up clouds of dust, to tell us how fast they are moving. Because it's not the normal thing at early morning for dust to be stirring up. That's normal. That's not normal. Later in the day, the dust become dry, so it flies. It moves in the air. But early in the morning, the dew, etc., has it there. It does not rise like that. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا. And these horses, they wind and they move and they move until they reach in the middle of the enemies. All together at one time they arrive for the battle. Allah is swearing by horses which possess certain qualities. Allah is swearing by horses. Allah swears by many things in the Holy Quran. Allah swears by the olive, Allah swears by the fig, Allah swears by the night, Allah swears by the day, Allah swears by the moon, Allah swears by the sun. Many things Allah swears by in the Holy Quran. But we cannot swear by these things. We can swear by Allah alone. It is not permissible for the makhluk to swear upon any other thing except the Khaliq, the Creator. But the Khaliq and the Creator can swear by anything he wishes. That is his choice. But why does a man swear? Why does a man say by so and so? Why will a man tell you by Allah? Why will a man say I swear by Allah? To create some strength in the information he's going to give to you, so that when you hear the first words, I swear by Allah, you will know that what he's going to tell you is not a lie. What he's going to tell you is not a lie. So Allah swears by these things to create strength and emphasis, taqeed, in the information. The message is not really about what Allah is swearing about. When Allah says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, by the sun, the maqsad is not really information about the sun. The information is coming after he swears, not the sun. So the information here is not really about horses. The information is about what is coming after the horses. So Allah swears by the horses. He swears to create emphasis and strength to the human beings and the creation, that all my servants, listen well, that what you are going to hear after these things, it is something very serious that must awaken you, that must wake you up, that must grab your attention, that you must listen attentively, and you must not be misguided, and you must not give up, and you must worship Allah and turn towards Allah. So Allah says, by these horses who race, and when they race, they give off the panting sound. They race and they strike the rocks, giving off the sparks. They race so fast that they are attacking in the morning, and they raise up the dust in the morning. And all of them collectively arrive in the midst of the enemies. After that, you know what Allah says? This is what Allah really wants to say to everybody. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. Certainly man is ungrateful to his Lord. Subhanallah. All this swearing on horses is about this message. What is the message? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. Certainly man is very ungrateful to his Lord. This is not something hidden and secretive. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. He himself is a witness to the fact that he's ungrateful. He knows he's ungrateful. If he is to measure his daily life, from the time he gets up in the morning until the time he goes to sleep at the night, and he looks at all the words from among his aqwal, his words, and he looks among his af'al and his actions, and he will measure each one, and then together with that he measures Allah's favors to him, he will know that he did not fulfill and do justice to Allah in being good for the entire day. He will know that, yes, I committed backbiting this minute. Says I lied that minute. And when someone told me this, how I reacted. And some evil thought entered my heart. And such was the case. And I cast a glance, a lustful and evil glance upon a person. And I listened to something that was haram. My feet walked towards something that was haram. And he measures all his actions of the day. At the time he's ready to sleep, he will tell himself, oh Allah, really I have done wrong again today. Make tomorrow a better day for me so that I will be closer to you tomorrow. If he measures it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says man is ungrateful. And he knows he's ungrateful. He looks at his actions, he looks at everything in him, in his words. He knows he's ungrateful. He knows about that. One thing Allah says. What is the connection between the horses Allah has mentioned and this man that he is mentioning, that Allah, that man is ungrateful? What is the connection? Subhanallah. A very close connection. A very close connection. Between the boat, Allah is swearing by the horses. He puts a picture of the horses, fast, extremely fast horses, giving off sparks from the ground. Subhanallah. How fast can they be? And then summing up with the message that, you know, man, you are really ungrateful. What is the connection? The connection is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look towards these horses, look at these horses, see what they do. The horses are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man owns the horses in the physical possession. The man never created the horses. Allah created the horses. The man feeds the horses, but did not create the food for the horses. Allah created the food for the horses. Allah created the food for the horses. What does a man do? A man takes Allah's created food and reaches it to Allah's creation. That is all a man does. He does not create the food, he did not make the grass, he did not make the water. He's reaching it to the horses, animals, innocent animals, doesn't have shu'ur. And for that little kindness that a man renders to the horses show so much gratitude to a man that they are ready to give their lives and stake their lives to the man. All the man does is give them some water and carry them to the well to drink some water. He did not create them. He did not create their food. He owns the horses. He thinks he owns the horses. And just in recognition of that small favor, the horse turns now to the man as his master. And the horse understands the gratitude that he must show to his master. So the gratitude of the horse is so much that the horse will run and give his life. The horse will undertake difficulties for the man. The horse will jump in the thick of the battle, get the throat cut, get the body wounded, be killed, be murdered on the field, so to say. For who? For the man. Why is the horse doing that for the man? Why is the horse doing that for the man? You know why? Because the horse recognized, this is my master. The horse recognized, this is my master. The horse does not understand that the man didn't create the food, but the man understands he did not create the food. All the man is doing is reaching the food. But just for that little favor, the horse is ready to stake his life. The horse is ready at an indication, the smallest sign, an ishara of a man, the horse will jump in the thick of the battle. The horse will not even think whether it will be killed or not, and the horse will jump in the thick of the battle and be killed. The man will be spared. The message is, oh man, this is what an innocent animal does to his master. What do you do to your master? Subhanallah. A man who never created the horse, a man who never created the food, but this animal can be so grateful to his own master. This animal can be so submissive to his master. The man says sit, he sits. The man says stand, he stands. The man says go, he goes. The man says stop, he stops. The man says move on, he moves on. The man says trample on that man, he tramples on the man. The man says go in front of that gun, he goes and he is shot. The man says go in front of that spear, the horse doesn't say no, the horse goes in front. Shot with the arrow, shot with the spear, and there is the end of the horse. The grateful creation of the man, of Allah to the horse. Allah says get up in the morning, the man says no, I am sleepy. Allah says give zakat, the man says no, it's my money. Allah says fast, he says I will starve. Allah says go for hajj, he says I have other places to go. How does man treat his master? Look at how this animal treats his master. Who is the master of man? The one who created him from a drop of despicable impure liquid. Mimma immaheen, the Quran says. A liquid that makes you impure as soon as it comes out from your body, that makes your clothing impure as soon as it drops on your clothing, that as soon as it come out, don't even think about entering the masjid, don't even think about entering the haram, don't even recite Quran, far less for touching Quran. So impure. That is where Allah created man from. A drop of liquid. You and I look at the liquid. Do we see eyes? Do we see mouth? Do we see tongue? Do we see hands? Do we see blood? Do we see brain? Do we see intelligence? No. But everything is in there and we can't see it. Everything is in there. And Allah uses that drop, because if that drop is not there, man is not created. So his hands, his feet is here. The beautiful face he has. When he stands before the mirror, he takes pride in his heart. Say, look how handsome I am. The woman says, look how pretty I am. Forgetting that a drop of impure, dirty liquid created them. This is why the famous poet says, anytime a man starts to walk with pride, all he has to do is look at two things, his beginning and his end. You were created from something impure, coming through an impure place of your mother. when you go in the grave, you will rot and you will smell and wounds will take your body. Why are you proud? What are you proud about? This is your beginning, this is your end. What are you proud? This is what why are you proud about? So Allah says this is His creation. Look at the horses, how they treat their master. Man who gets everything from Allah. Before he came on the face of the earth, Allah nourished him in the womb of his mother for 9 months. At a time when he never had the teeth to chew, when his digestive system was not in operation, Allah made 2 years milk to be his food. When he now started to get teeth, a little few drops of this and a little bite of this was the source of his life. He grows up in weakness. Allah chose people to wipe him. He chose people to clean him up. People who will not scorn him. People who will not dump him. People who will love him. People who will take care of him. Allah give him all these things. The man says, oh Allah, I need a job. Allah gives him a job. The man says, oh Allah, I need to be married. The man gives him marriage. The man says, oh Allah, I'm married, but 5 years now I don't have a child. Allah gives him a child. The man becomes sick. He says, oh Allah, I'm sick. Allah give me cure. Allah will give him cure. The man says, oh Allah, my daddy and mommy, they are in the hospital. Allah, every drop of hair that grows on his beautiful body, he owes to Allah. Every footstep he takes on the face of the earth, he owes to Allah. But yet man is so ungrateful to Allah. He always thinks that Allah's law is so difficult, and he never looks how difficult it was to create him from blood, from sperm, from bones, from muscles and all these things. He never looks back. He never looks back at that. And this is why Allah draws that picture before us. You want to know, man, whether you are grateful or not? Look at those animals under you. Look at your dog towards you. You are the master. The attitude you show towards Allah, do your dogs show it towards you? Never. They are far better than you when compared to you in the sight of Allah. They are far better than you. These horses that are ready to stake their lives, they don't worry about their own safety. They don't worry about coming back safely. They go as you tell them. And this was the life of the Sahabas, if you want to know. This is the life of the Sahabas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry. They will undo what they did. His smile is like they got Jannat, subhanallah. When they saw his smile. Before he will issue an order, they are fighting to go with his order. Before he can spit on the ground, they are fighting to collect his saliva and rub it onto their body. Before the water, the drops of the water can reach the ground, all of them, they are catching the water. The lives of the Sahabas, if this was their attitude and behavior towards the Rasul, how much war was their behavior towards Allah? Towards Allah. Towards Allah. And here is man. Allah says, ponder over the horses. Ponder over them carefully. And then you will know what I am saying. It is the truth. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Man is ungrateful to Allah. And Allah brings that point to show us that if we really want to know if that's true or not, look how they behave towards us and then compare ourselves towards our master. Are we submissive to our master as they are to their master? Are we obedient to our master as they, the horses, are obedient to their master? Are they ready? Are we ready to give our lives for Allah as they are ready to give their lives for master? My dear brothers, at the end of every question, we will not see a common no, we will see a capital no with a big exclamation mark. No. How can that be possible? Allah says, man is indeed ungrateful. Then Allah says, you are a witness state. Check your actions, check your words, you know that you're ungrateful. You know how much you give tarjih and priority to this life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the second harmful thing. The second thing that brings about that ingratitude that is mentioned by Allah. Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanud. Man is ungrateful to his Rabb and his Lord. Allah says lakanud. Kanud. He's ungrateful. What does kanud mean? Kanud, translated as ungrateful in the Arabic language. Allah uses the word that man is kanood. The mufassirin and commentators like Hassan Basri alayhi rahma says kanood means to remember the hardships and forget favors. That is kanood. That is ingratitude. When you ask a man, how are you? Things tough, boy. Things really tough. Last month I got very sick. Last month I had a difficult month. And he forgets, this morning Allah woke him up and he was healthy. He forgot yesterday he was hungry and Allah gave him food to eat. He forgot yesterday he was thirsty and Allah gave him the drink. So all he remembers is hardship and he forgets favors. He's kanood, ungrateful to Allah. Imam Tirmizi gives the tafsir of kanood. He says kanood means a man who recognizes the favors but forgets the giver of the favors. SubhanAllah. All we are seeing, alhamdulillah, I am wealthy. But we are not saying, oh Allah, I owe you something. All we are saying, oh Allah, I am healthy. But we forget Allah who has given us the health. All we remember, Allah, I am happy. We forget who has given us happiness. Oh Allah, I am good. We forget who has given us goodness. So the man who only sees favors but forgets the giver of the favor, that is a kanood, Imam Tirmizi says. So Allah is saying that is how man is. That man will always remember hardships but not favors. Always hardships and favors. You know, if a man and another one has a dispute, he will tell you what you did for 10 years ago, but he wouldn't say last year when he was in trouble, you help him. That's human being. 10 years ago, the stuff of 10 years, he's going to say, you did this and did this and did, but he forgets last year when he needed help, you help him. Man, looking at hardships, but doesn't look towards favors. Then he respects the good you have given to him, but he thinks you are the enemy, but although you have given him something good. So he recognizes the good, but don't recognize the one who gave him that. That is man. Then Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ Another point Allah says, and he, man, has extreme love and intense love for wealth. That is man. One thing about man, Allah says he's ungrateful to his Rabb. And we can see that. And the other thing Allah says, that man, he has a lot of love for wealth. And it is his love for wealth that makes him ungrateful. It is his love for the wealth that makes him ungrateful. He is greedy for wealth. He is craving for wealth. He has so much, but still his stomach is not filled. He has so much, which is overburdening to him, but still he wants to go further and further and further. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, hadith reported by Imam Bukhari, he said, لَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ If the son of Adam, if man had two valleys of gold, لَأَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيَانِ He would love to have two more valleys. Bring more. He's wishing. He's longing to have it. Longing to have it. لَأَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيَانِ And if he gets the two, he will always want more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, وَلَنْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابَ Nothing fills his stomach and his mouth except the dirt of the grave. That is when his stomach will be filled and say, Wallah, I had enough now. It's enough. Can't take no more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that is man. Why? The love for wealth is that thing in the heart that makes a man breaks all the laws of Allah. Allah has given us halal sustenance. And Allah has never ever made on the face of the earth any situation that will make a man be forced towards going towards something haram for sustenance. Never ever. Never. Because Allah says there is absolutely no creation walking on the face of the earth except إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا That upon Allah is the responsibility of his risk. Yes, what may happen is that we got our risk, but the man wants more. He's greedy now. His life is not based upon what he's working for more. His life could have been lived with what Allah has given to him. But it is craving. And it is deep love and intense love for it that is pushing him again and again, again and again. That is going and that is going on and going on and going on. So Allah has never ever created any situation from the time of Adam alayhi salam until the last man on the face of the earth that will force a man towards eating haram or doing al haram act of transaction that will bring in that haram. Allah has never done that. And Allah will never do it. Because Allah created you and I, and Allah has already written our sustenance. That is there. He created us. He has written that already. That was written while we were in the wombs of our mothers. Hadith in Bukhari says, the four things that were written by the angels, the risk and sustenance of a man. So, it is the love and the deep love and the intense love and the craving that I had for wealth that makes a man break the laws of Allah. He will go to work in the day, but in the evening, he does not pass all these small shops of gambling streets. He wouldn't pass it. Why? Don't you have a halal job? Don't you have a daily work? Don't you get risk from Allah based on that salary? Why? It is the greed and the love for wealth now that pushes you. I wish I could win this thing. It crossed a million already. I wish I could win this thing. Why will a man go to riba and interest and usury? He has what it takes for survival of life. But he's tempted now. He's tempted. Put it, you will get a good return. He has already. He has sufficient. Allah has given him to fulfill his needs. But it's a craving and the love for the wealth that says, let me do something, I'll get a good return. Let me get a good return. A man has, but he's dishonest to other people. He's cheating other people. Why does he cheat other people? The love for wealth. You purchase an article for $100. Your friend does not know. You say, brother, I purchased this for $200 and you give me $210. All I'm making is $10. He says, very, very good, brother. Very good. MashaAllah, nice brother. $110. Deception. Why? What do you want? Why are you lying? The intense love for wealth that is pushing you. That is pushing the man. When a man calculates his zakat, he says, wow, $1,000 I must give, $10,000. You know how much things I could do with that? He does not give his zakat. Why? Greedy for the wealth. Because if I give it, it's the poor and the needy, them I work for it, I work for it. I'm more deserving of this. This is what the man says. He keeps it, he does not give it. And he will die with it and Allah will take him to task for it. And the Quran says the same wealth which he was supposed to give in zakat and he did not give. It will become serpents towards him, running after him, and he will run. And all the serpents will say, why are you running? Allah will say, haza kanzuka, haza maluka, this is your treasures which you stored up. This, why are you running? This is your wealth. Why are you running from your wealth? Does anyone run from their wealth? No, but you will run away from it. All the different things that comes out, go for this, you will get this. Enter this competition, you will get so much. You can win so much. Why does man run towards it? Doesn't Allah give us sufficient for our daily needs? Yes. Why do we rush towards it? I get sick, I have to see about myself. You get sick, you have to see about your own self. But there is a plan coming out. If you get sick, we will punish all your expenditure. All you have to do is give a little thing in amount. You say, but I could pay $100 and get an operation for $50,000. That's something good. Why is there the push towards it? The intense love for that wealth. You want to get cure, but not your money you spend in other people's money. Insurance is haram. Why people go in all these things? Why, we ask the question? The deep love for wealth that is pushing him in every angle. He's supposed to close his shop for Jummah because he says, MashaAllah, I've been reading Jummah. Allah wants to put him to a test at the time of Jummah. Want a lot of people standing before his shop now. Everybody coming to buy. Say, brother, I have to go to mosque. Say, wait now, but we will come back. At 1 o'clock, I have to go out. So you say, well, here now, this is Allah's risk. This is Allah's risk. And you see, Allah sent those people here. So let me, I could read Zohar today and you neglect Jummah. Why? The love and the craving for wealth. Haven't you made enough for the morning that will see you through? Are you dying? Are you starving? So Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لِهُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. He has an intense love for wealth. It seems that you can't separate the wealth from him. Any avenue where he finds out free things given away, any avenue where there is a way to make more money and make wealth, but he doesn't know he's going to die tonight. Eh? He wants to go. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hadith reported by Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmad. He says, يَقُولُ إِبْنُ Adam, a man says, Mali, Mali, this is mine wealth. This is mine. I have this and I have that. يَقُولُ الْإِنسَان مَالِي مَالِي يَقُولُ إِبْنُ آدَم مَالِي مَالِي mine wealth. Everyone claiming mine wealth, mine, this is mine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَهَلْ لَكَ مِن مَالِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَقَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ. Your wealth is nothing except that what you have eaten and it has passed out. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. Or your clothing which you have worn and it has become old now. That is your wealth. أَوْ تَصَدَّقَتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Oh, you have given charity and their charity has already gone ahead of you in the presence of Allah. That is your wealth. وَمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. Whatever is besides all these three things, whatever you have, فَذَاهِبٌ. It's sure to go away. It's not yours. وَتَارِكُهُ لِلنَّاسِ. And you are leaving it for other people. That does not belong to you. Your wealth is what you use. What you use is what you use in your life. That is your wealth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. But man continues to say, Mali, Mali. So Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ. He has this extreme, intimate love for wealth. He's not going to separate, and this is the path of his destruction. Because he's so busy in the morning that he must rush towards reaching here on time, because he cannot lose such and such opportunity. He cannot reach to work late, but missing Fajr at the cost. Missing his Salat, missing Jummah, missing this and miss, and disobeying Allah by neglectful in the duties and also transgressing the limits of Allah with respect to halal and haram. He's going towards it. Allah says he has that love. Now, wealth is not something evil. There is a big difference in this. Wealth is a ni'mat of Allah as long as it is used for good purposes. But wealth becomes an azab when it is used for the wrong purpose. Understand that? When wealth is used for good purpose, spend on yourself, spend on your family, spend in the path of Allah, spend for Islam, give charity, feed the poor and the needy, subhanallah, all is blessings for you. But use it to do wrong deeds. Use it for mischief and corruption. Use it to increase transgression. Use it to propagate evils and iniquity. That is a burden against the man. He will have to pay for it on the day of judgment. This is why, of the five questions reported by Tirmidhi, that the man will have to give an answer to, of the five questions that a man will have to give an answer to Allah about, two are connected to wealth. One, where did you get your wealth? How did you achieve it? And the other one is, how did you spend your wealth? Two questions concerning wealth. So, wealth itself is not evil unless it is used in an evil and bad manner. Abdurrahman bin Auf was a wealthy man. Suleiman alayhi salam was one king who ruled the world at one time. Suleiman alayhi salam. Uthman was given the title of Ghani. Ghani means wealthy because Uthman was wealthy. So it is not bad. What is bad is the love for it. Because when the love enters into the heart, it is the root of every evil now. It is the root of the craving and no satisfaction, no contentment. And when it is there, a man is never satisfied with Allah's sustenance. He's always complaining about getting more. And that rush to get more makes him break Allah's laws. So, it is the love. Because the love for wealth and the love for Allah cannot remain in the heart at one point in time. It could never. Because two are opposing to each other. is either the servant has a love for Allah or the love for anything besides Allah. But the love of for Allah and the love for anything besides Allah cannot be coupled and combined at one and the same time. If Allah gives a person, use it, utilize it for good purposes. But the love shouldn't enter the heart. It should never, because it is the root for many evil. It is the root for many evil. Just as Sheikh Rumi, the couplet, I recited some time ago, the couplet. Sheikh Rumi spoke about the same hubbul mal, the wealth of, the love of wealth entering the heart. He says, Abi andar kashtad, Abi andar zere kashti pushti asta. What does Sheikh Rumi says? Sheikh Jalaluddin Rumi. Abi andar zere kashti pushti asta. He says, as long as the water is beneath the boat, you are safe and sound. As long as the water is beneath the boat will sail good and you are safe and sound. Abedar kashti halak kashti ast. He says, but when the water is inside the boat, then that is destruction. Ah, when the water is beneath, alhamdulillah, everything going good. But when the water is inside the boat, that is destruction. Subhanallah. So when the wealth is around the heart but not in the heart, everything is safe and sound. But when the wealth enters inside the heart now, that is destruction. So Allah says that this man, he has this love for wealth. This is what makes him ungrateful. So Allah wants to draw man's attention towards a life which is known as the real life, the hereafter, that will eliminate those two things that are in us. That when we get that message of Allah is given to us, and when we get that message from Allah that we will no longer be ungrateful, neither will we develop that intense love for wealth. So Allah gives us a lesson, and the lesson, the only lesson that will cut that love, is about the life we have to go ahead of us. So Allah says, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Doesn't this man remember the time? Doesn't he remember that a day will come that every dead thing in the grave and every single thing in the grave, ma fil qubur, bu'thira, will be given life and they will stand before Allah? What, does he know that a day will come like that? Why is he behaving like an ungrateful servant? Why is he showing ingratitude to Allah? Why does he have this intense and extreme love? Does he forget that one day he must stand before Allah, and although he see people are in their graves and they are dead, what does he think, that will remain forever? No. Afala ya'alamu. Doesn't he know? When the graves will be overturned and everyone will walk out of their graves going towards Allah, doesn't he know about that? Wa husila ma fi sudur. And everything that are hidden in the hearts, they will come out. Everything will come out. Every single thing. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. On that day, man, Allah is fully acquainted with all that man did on the face of the earth. So Allah will now take him to task for that. Allah will question him about the ingratitude. Allah will question him about the love also. You forsake my love for the wealth of, for the love of something that is perishable. If that was the case, you bring that today and let it help you against my azab and see what is going to happen today. This is how Allah leaves the ayah, the surah. This is the message Allah leaves with us. You and I, my dear brothers, we are living in this world and this is the physical life. You and I have to pass through all these things in life. And these are the things we are confronted with. One, we often forget our duties towards Allah. Allah is our Rabb. Why don't we serve Allah as He's our Master? Why don't we understand in our hearts that everything I owe, it is to Allah, and become like the horses to their master? One lesson. And rather than becoming ungrateful, become grateful to Allah and start becoming fully obedient to Allah in all areas. Not only in our salat, but in all our actions. And the other thing is that that which is the obstacle between us and Allah is the love for the wealth. the intense love. Why don't we recognize what it is doing to our iman and our hereafter? Take out the love, not the wealth. The wealth is there, use it. Allah has given it to you. Achieve it in a halal manner, spend it in a halal manner, use it. But don't let the love come in, because the love entering the heart is like the water entering the boat. Now it will destroy it. So during the course of our life that we live on the face of the earth, each and every second and minute, you and I should ponder about the life that we have to enter through the grief. You and I have to ponder about that life and tell ourselves that after one day or 1 year or 2 years or one night, this life will come to an end. And what after that? Standing before Allah, that is what will come up next. So if we don't serve Allah now, there is no time we will get to serve Allah. If we are not obedient to Allah, there is absolutely no time we will get to obey Allah. If there is no time that, if we do not show Allah our obedience now, there is no time we can show Allah our obedience after now. No time we can show Allah that obedience. So now is the time we have to turn towards Allah. And we have to search our hearts, ask ourselves, speak to our hearts, speak to ourselves, tell our nafs, ask our nafs, tell me, O nafs, are you ungrateful to your Rabb or not? Who created you? Who created you? Don't you know who is Allah? Why are you disobedient to Allah? O nafs, why are you telling me to disobey Allah? We have to speak to our nafs, because there is a small voice inside of us that tempts us to do something wrong. It is a small voice telling us, do that, sleep, don't get up. We have to turn back to tell that small voice, listen to me, I don't want to be punished because of you. I am going to train you in such a manner that you yourself will get to love Allah as I, the body, loves Allah. Because the nafs is the nafs, and the carnal desires, it controls the human being. It sends the message to the tongue, backbite, the tongue backbites. It sends a message to the eye, cast the evil look. The eyes look. So you know what? We have to tell it, you remain right there, because you're going to put me in a lot of trouble on the day of judgment. And I have to pay very hard, and the punishment is all because of you. So let me straighten you out right on the face of the earth. And this is correcting our actions. So all of us have to turn towards that direction. We have a struggle. What is the struggle? Our environment is the struggle. We come to perform salat, mashallah, our attention is towards Allah. And from the time we say Allahu Akbar, the conviction of Allah being the greatest immediately enters our hearts. We go home, the TV is on, our iman starts to go down. The radio is on, something starts to go on. A different kind of talk starts. The neighbor puts on this. Tomorrow we go to work, the environment, we forget every good thing we learned yesterday. Shaitan is in the environment and he's pulling us away in every direction. This is why we can't seem to be strong enough to go forward, because every footstep we make forward, somebody is pulling us back, and that is Satan. The environment. The Sahabas in the companionship of the Rasul became angels, but not in the companionship, went away with their lives as it was. So you and I need an environment also. You and I need an environment. What makes it happen that people feel so different in Ramadan? The environment. What makes it so different when people go for Hajj? The environment. But as soon as you come, in the beginning you say, brother, I feel I could go back there. MashaAllah, be everything coming out. After 1 month here, look at the brother. Not the same vibes again. The environment. The environment can make us or break us. And this is why, this is one of the greatest benefits. When we invite towards Allah in the environment of inviting towards Allah, that it's not simply that we go to the neighbor and say, I'm a Muslim, I'm inviting you, come to the masjid. But it's inviting with the amals that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did from morning to even that made that invitation strong and powerful. It is the environment. It is being in that environment where the worry and the concern and the heart is breaking apart to see people disobeying Allah. The heart is breaking apart to see Muslims running away from the house of Allah. The heart is breaking apart to see Muslims rejecting Allah. the environment will create that love and that union and that anguish and anxiety. But we on our own, that will not be created. This is why we are always told every Thursday night, get up, become a part of that environment. The gathering and the environment, like how the Rasul created the gathering of the Sahabas, he created and he left them. And the legacy of that continues until now. The gathering and the grouping, so that we come together to serve Allah and invite towards Allah. This is why we go out in Jamaat 3 days and 40 days, 4 months as the case may be. So that when we go in that environment, and every side we turn, even if we do not want to get up for Fajr in the morning, we see three of them start up performing. We see, by I feel in shame, everybody reading Salat and I sleeping. That is what the environment does. Everybody reading Quran, you want to go outside to look at stars. See now, by I feel in shame. I mean, at least if it is to show them I reading Quran, that will do. It will start like that in the beginning, and then Allah gives the tawfiq of sincerity. Imam Ghazali says, he makes a very beautiful point.
You gotta finish now.
Imam Ghazali makes a very beautiful point. He says, in the beginning, a man sometimes do things to please others in the line of ibadat. But there is a great hikmat. He says, you must never leave it. Continue to do it. Because that will bring ikhlas in your heart. A Muslim who has a bad habit of smoking frequently, he puts on his jubbah and his pagri and he's walking the street. And he has a cigarette. He says, boy, if anybody see me smoking now, what they gonna say? What they gonna say? They gonna say, this man looking like a big Muslim and he's smoking along the street. He say, nah, he's smoking. Why is he stopping? Because of people. And that happens frequently. Then it starts to decrease his urge for that. He has a bad way about him, that he doesn't come to masjid, but he puts on a long jubbah and he's walking the street. Azan is being called and he walks the masjid past street. He said, people looking at me, they go say, I have a big jubbah here, and they see the azan calling and I walk past in the masjid street. Better I go. Let me go. So he goes there in order to avoid the taunts of people. But when he comes one time and two times, the tawfiq enters his heart and he becomes habitual in it. So sometimes it starts up like that, but Allah brings a lot of ikhlas. So sometimes that is what happens in the environment of Jamaat and Tabligh when we go there. Sometimes we do not want to do something because we are not accustomed. But when we see someone doing it and they are doing a good deed, we see now everybody getting up for tahajjud and me, I sleeping. Everybody look at that old brother, he's 60 years and I young and strong. I feel in shame. Let me get up. One day you will do it and the next day you will do it for that reason. But by the third day, my dear brothers, the sweetness you will get, you will never want to leave it in your life. You will never want. You are in the masjid and everybody giving a sadaqah. The box is passing around. You see, I have money, but I have to spend it. I have it for mine. But everybody giving, if I give, what people will say? Take out something and you give. Next day you give, then nobody will have to ask you to give. You yourself will teach people how to give. Subhanallah, it starts like that. That is what environment creates. And that is what we need. Because the further we are stay from the environment of Deen and Islam, it is the weaker we're going to become. And when we become weak, my dear brothers, you and I will have to account to Allah for that. On the other hand, if we become strong, it is for our benefit. So this is why the announcement is being made. Not for Allah's benefit. What will Allah get? If the whole world becomes Muslim and there is not a single kafir, it doesn't increase Allah's kingdom. And if everyone turns enemies towards Allah, it doesn't decrease Allah's kingdom. What will Allah get? What will the Rasul get? What can the angels get? What will Islam get? Nothing from our efforts. Why? Because Allah has given His promise that we will protect Islam and no man can destroy Islam. And Allah has shown us in the history, when there was not a single believer to protect his house, the Kaaba, when there was not a single person saying La ilaha illallah, He chose another creation, the Ababil, the birds, to protect His holy house, to teach you and I a lesson that He, Allah, doesn't need us and our efforts. And if we have to reproach, Allah still doesn't need us. Allah will choose the animals, He will choose the birds. When He choose the birds to protect the Kaaba, Allah will choose the animals and the creation to protect Islam. And rightly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah will protect and help this deen through the efforts of a transgressor. Subhanallah. Let's contemplate on that. Allah will use for the service of this deen the efforts of a transgressor. The believer who is 5 times a day, the believer who does everything right, he look at that person, he say, he don't even perform salat, look at him. That man don't do any good deeds. MashaAllah, he's doing everything good. One day, if we develop that mutakabbir type of arrogant and proud attitude, Allah will make him pass us and we will remain right there. When the Quraysh were too proud because of their tribal lineage to accept Islam, Allah chose people like Bilal, the Abyssinian slave, for the sake of his deen. Allah chose people who were slaves, persecuted day and night, and through their effort the deen continued. So one day Allah will take the service of transgressors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says Allah will take new nations, give them Islam, and Allah will use them for Islam. And all those people who always look at themselves to be good and mighty and mashallah, my Islam good, I am missing salat, Allah will leave them behind. You know why? They think that they're not supposed to carry out a message. And they were well contented with their Islam. They were well contented with, I am good, alhamdulillah, everything good. And they never thought about other people. They never thought about the generations to come, as the Rasul thought about our generation coming so long after, telling the Sahabas, go out, preach and teach, go out. So we have it. But if we don't think about that, then you know what? Allah will say, you remain right there. You don't want to do it? I don't need you. I'm going to get people who will do it. And they will continue to do it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, their quality will be, لَا يَخَافُ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. They will never fear the blames of the people who are blaming them. They will never fear criticism. They will fear no one except Allah. And Allah will raise Islam through them. Sometimes a person say, if I go, what people will say though? Fear criticism. If I do this, what will people say? Fear criticism. The Prophet says Allah will choose people who will not fear criticism. They will fear Allah and Allah alone. So let us become a part of that. Let us fall in rather than falling out. Let us do that which is good, because from among the signs we don't have long to go again. So let us do it now before such disasters come to us that will grab us into it, and we shall soon go back to Allah in a manner that we have not done anything. So let us give our names to go in this environment of tabligh and dawat, so that we will strengthen our iman and better ourselves, and remember the two lessons that when we go in Jamaat, two sure things inshallah will certainly come. The two things Allah condemned in Suratul Adiyat, we will start to become grateful to Allah, and the love and the greed we had for wealth will leave us, because we will be in the environment of environments which the Rasul produced on the face of the earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to go out and to spread the deen of Allah. So give our names now, my dear brothers. Give our names to go out in the path of Allah and strive for Allah's deen to be revived in the difficult period of this time of the world.
MashaAllah. So who are those brothers, inshallah? 4 months, 40 days in the path of Allah. Cash, inshallah. So who are those brothers, Naqad? MashaAllah, Zaro, Riyaz Bhai, Safar. MashaAllah. Who are those brothers now who are in the path of Allah? Those brothers, stand up to see those brothers. These brothers sit down, inshallah. Those brothers who are right now in the path of Allah. We have for this month, mashallah, we had 5 jamaats out. We had 140 days jamaat, which has gone to India. And for the Mashura, another 40 days jamaat, which is for the Mashura in India and is going to Pakistan. We also have a 3rd or 4 months jamaat that went to India, Pakistan. And now 2 local jamaats. Some brothers from Port of Spain, and also 1 jamaat working in the south. So mashallah, these are the brothers in 40 days. Who are the other brothers, mashallah? These brothers sit now, inshallah. These brothers can sit with their jamaats. Brothers, please sit with their jamaats, inshallah. These brothers who are in the path of Allah, stand up, inshallah. So if these brothers can sit with their jamaats, inshallah, we would like to join maybe some brothers, inshallah, with these jamaats. Take the jamaats, inshallah, in the left hand side. Those brothers who are in the path of Allah this time, stand up. Let us see those brothers. Just collect on the left hand side, inshallah. Taj is the Amir of one Jamaat. Razif Bhai is the Amir of the other Jamaat. So who are those brothers, as Mufti Sahib was mentioning? We'll just have approximately 40 days remaining for the month of Ramadan. So who are those brothers, inshallah? Maybe the month of October or Ramadan, who are ready to give time. Please stand up, inshallah. One, two brothers have come naqad cash also for 40 days. So who are those brothers? Stand up, inshallah. Those brothers who are ready, the month of Ramadan or October, cash. Mashallah, keep standing, brothers. Who are the other brothers, inshallah? These brothers proceed on the left hand side. Proceed on the left hand side, inshallah, with Riyaz Bhai and Amjad. Amjad, just take down the names. Name, time, date. Who are the other brothers, inshallah? The month of Ramadan, this is the time, mashallah. Nafil is equal to Farz, Farz 70 times more. So who are those brothers, inshallah, who are ready to spend some time? We have the month of October. Whether it is 1 month even, at least we are given 1 month in the path of Allah. Mashallah, brothers. The brothers from the back, inshallah. Who are the brothers, inshallah? Mashallah, mashallah. Seen some small movements, inshallah. Everybody is thinking, inshallah. Make a sincere intention, inshallah. Make the intention, inshallah. Allah will carry us. Allah will make it easy. Don't mix with the jamaats, inshallah. Those brothers for October, November, separate, inshallah. Take them separate. Put on the light, huh? Somebody put on the light for the left hand side. So who are the brothers, inshallah? Zulfikar, put on those lights, you know. So who are the brothers, inshallah? October, November. There are lots of brothers here sitting, inshallah. At least we can make a little extra effort, inshallah. So who are those brothers, inshallah? Mashallah. Alhamdulillah, this is the time we have to make the little effort. So many of masajids, we have already, within this 4-5 months period, there's approximately 100 masajids in the country. Within 3 months period, alhamdulillah, approximately 65 masajids were covered. We have at least 35 masajids to cover, inshallah, before the year. So at least the whole country, inshallah, will be covered. So we need some jamaats to work for this, inshallah. So who are those brothers, inshallah? Bismillah. There are brothers sitting here, maybe at least 3 weeks even. 3 weeks, 1 month.